Glad you came to church tonight. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I'm so glad that we're here. Aren't you glad we got good music? I'm telling you, Dan leads a good crew. Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciate it. Appreciate that. I have to be careful. Maybe I'm being prophetic, but I almost called you Pastor Dan.
Oh, come on.
Come on now. The reason I did is when I was at Rhema back in school, we did have a Pastor Dan. And his name was Dan Morris, and he was our worship leader. And so I stopped. I said, Brother Dan, there we go. Got that taken care of. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I get the opportunity to minister to you. I don't get that often, an opportunity. And so when I do, I don't consider it lightly. And just want to share just a few thoughts with you over the next few minutes that we have tonight. And hopefully, you know, I'm watching the weather for you as well as for us. And we're just going to trust and believe that we're not going to get that weather. Amen. You know, everybody can just do this and just kind of blow it to the east. You know, they seem to be getting enough of it already as it is. Just a little bit more won't bother them, but it'll bother us, won't it? I was enjoying 75 degree weather yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but I'm it's February, but I'm still enjoying. When you hand me a 75 degree weather day, I'm just going to say, you know what, let's call winter over and spring on the way. Amen. So we'll just do that. Well, I'm going to be sharing just a little bit. You know, I have a tendency to share not necessarily out of messages that I feel like I need to preach, but more out of messages that are going on in my heart. Is that all right? And so as a result, you're going to be hearing about some things about Bob tonight that I just deal with. So that way, maybe you might be able to relate with me. Otherwise, if you can't relate with me, maybe you can just pray for me, okay? Is that all right? So that way, it will be a little bit easier. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. Our main passage is going to be Leviticus 26. Can I get an amen? Leviticus 26. Anybody that knows anything about the Bible, they say that Leviticus is the number one most hated book of the Bible. And so I'm going to minister out of Leviticus tonight. But that's not going to be, it's going to be a main course, but that's not going to be the first verse. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. This is where I want to start. You know, as I was sitting in my lazy boy chair, you know, every January, I have a tendency to evaluate my life. And I don't know if that's kind of weird or not, but I kind of sit back and I kind of look at things and I think, okay, was the previous year a good year or not so good year? You know, some people, they look at January, you know, when they come out of December and move into January, they think, you know what? Well, praise God, I'm glad that year is over. Anybody ever have any relationships to that? They just think, thank you, God, for cutting that year out. I'm done with that year. I'm going into a new year, you know? And so as I'm sitting in my lazy boy, I was thinking about some things. And, you know, January, as a former salesman, I used to have my own insurance agency. I was in sales for many, many years and worked in several aspects of the insurance and finance industry. I was in banking. And one of the things that we always taught our salespeople is, so goes January, so goes the year. Has anybody ever heard that term before? So goes January, so goes the year. If you have a good January, it gets you going for the rest of the year. And so when I'm sitting there in my lazy boy and I'm just kind of thinking about things and just contemplating things, you know, a lot of times the Lord will stir some things in my heart about some things that are going on. You know, as a matter of fact, over the last couple of years, you know, I'll look at goal setting. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to write the vision and make it plain. That's kind of a wonderful passage that we have a tendency to use. But in January, there's usually some scriptures that we think about, at the beginning of the year. And one of them would be Isaiah. And it says in Isaiah 43, it says, he's going to do a new thing and now it shall spring forth. We look into Philippians 3:13 and it says, forgetting those things that are behind, right? Psalm says, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 98, he said, sing unto the Lord a new song. And so these were all scriptures as I was thinking about, you know, getting ready for my new year and getting ready for new things. And I thought, none of those just are sitting with me today. And so as I'm sitting there contemplating my new year and praying out some things, I just started to contemplate the things that are going on in me and the things that are going on in Bob. And I guess something popped in me. You know, how many of you know that sometimes we have to relearn things that we've already learned? Or we have to revisit things that we already know? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. I love this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. It says this. It says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Has there ever been anything that you've heard at one point in time or another, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, you let it go? You know, whether or not you intentionally let it go, sometimes you let it go just simply by accident. Amen. You know, the Bible says this in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse number 23. It says this: "But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you have received." So this must be a theme that's in our Bibles. There's a theme that's within our Bibles of putting us in remembrance. The Bible says in the book of Peter, Peter said this. He said, "I want to put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them and are already established in them." So there's this constant theme throughout Scripture to put us in remembrance of things. If you go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. I like to give you, one of the things that I've learned as a minister is it's important for me to give you Scripture because I could care less if you ever remember what I say. Does that make sense? Because it's the Scripture that's going to bring life. It's the Scripture that's going to produce life. It's not Bob's words that's going to produce life ever. And so I'm going to spend just a few moments giving you a bunch of little scriptures, and then I'll give some explanation. But look at what it talks about. It talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14. It says this: "Obey God because you are his children." Say, "I'm his kid." Say it with a little bit of conviction. Say, "I'm his kid." I'm his kid. So what is he commanding us to do right here? He says we're supposed to obey him. And so we're supposed to obey him. He says, don't slip back into the old ways. And it says, don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. And so when we look at that passage of Scripture, there's something that's very interesting. There's two things that jump out to me. It says you must live as God's obedient children. Or in this version of the New Living Translation, it says this. It says, obey God because you're his kids. But then he says, don't slip back into the way that you used to live. You know, sometimes that can happen even by accident. We can find ourselves, you know, we can get born again, we can get saved, we can get the life of God dwelling on the inside of us, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in the midst of a circumstance or situation, and we stop thinking the way the Word thinks, and we go back into the way we used to think. How many of you know what a computer is? Have you ever had a computer after a power failure? And all of a sudden you're in the middle of a Word document, you're writing it or typing it or something, all of a sudden power failure, boom, and the computer goes, comes back on, and it doesn't bring you back to where you were. What does it do? It falls back into a default mode, doesn't it? And if we're not careful, guys, we'll fall back into that default mode. That passage of Scripture, again, it says, obey because we are God's children. The Bible says this. It says that we're known in John chapter, I believe it's John chapter 15, verse number 14. It says that obedience is critical because when we're defined by God as his kids or his friends through our obedience. And so when we start looking at passages of Scripture like that, it now all of a sudden brings a new light into the importance and the criticalness of walking in that level of obedience. You know, realizing this, you know, going through year after year, in January, I went back and I did some research on my own thoughts and things that I were contemplating. In 2013, I thought through the subject of stewardship. And so for me, was I a good steward of my money? Was I a good steward? That January, it seemed like everything God had me focusing on was, am I a good steward? Am I a good steward of my time? Am I a good steward of my treasure that God has given me? Am I a good steward of how I relate to my wife and to my kids? And do I give them all of me with what I'm able to do? So that was my January thoughts. And then in 2014, I can remember back because I wrote my notes and I was sitting in that same lazy boy chair. And in January of 2014, the Lord had me reading some passages. And as I was reading these passages, he began to fire questions at me. And these questions were something simple like this. He says, do my actions really reveal my beliefs? So as a Christian, am I walking around and am I actually saying and living out this life that I say that I live out? Do my actions really correlate with my beliefs? Am I a lover of people? I wrote this thought down to myself in 2014. It says, does what I say produce life? Is what I'm saying producing life or is it producing death? Is the words that I'm communicating to people, are they bringing them fullness or are they cutting their legs out from under them? I realized that there was something else as I was reading, and the Lord just kind of challenged me with this question. He said, Bob, are you really humble? So I realized that there was a humility that I had to place in my life. And then finally, the last one, am I consumed with the right thing? So that was my 2014. So now 2015 rolls around. And I'm praying, and I'm really asking God. I've learned a long time ago that it's important to be transparent. You know what? Because if you can see my own failures and idiosyncrasies, you know what? It makes you realize that, hey, we all got them. And so I try to let you see mine so that you can't use anything against me anyway. I tell you them. I see them, you know, if I'm falling short. But Scripture tells us that Paul even made the statement. There's a translation that I'm kind of getting used to, and it's called The Voice. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, it talks about Paul being transparent. And he said, and here is why I'm transparent. It says, what you experienced in the good news we brought you was more than words channeling down your ears. It came to you as a life-empowering, spirit-infused message that offers complete hope and assurance. We live transparently before you so that you may know what sort of people we truly are. You know, I realize that living transparently is critically important to me because, you know what, last year was a good year in some ways for me. It wasn't so good in some ways for me last year. You know, there were some things financially that I wish I hadn't done. There were some things that I ended up in the middle of that I wish I'd never had to walk through. Amen? You know what? I look at last year and I realize that there are some things that I did that I needed to repent for. And there are some things that I am so grateful for. I am so excited that forgiveness and grace is available to me. But in the midst of what we're doing, I'm sitting at my chair in my lazy boy. And the Lord began to remind me. I teach this class. I teach the book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in the Bible college back at Rhema. And Leviticus, like I said, is one of those books in the Bible that not many people go to pick out to say, hey, let's go read this one. I just need, you know, if you want to go to sleep, maybe you will. You'll go pick out Leviticus. But you don't necessarily pick out Leviticus as being one of those books that you can get some incredible ooh-rahs out of. Does that make sense? And so I'm interested in giving you a ooh-rah tonight, okay? And so as I'm sitting there in my lazy boy, the Lord brought back to me a passage of Scripture. Chapter 26, if you go to chapter 26, I want to start reading to you in verse number 1 in just a moment. But in chapter 26, if you read Leviticus chapter all the way one, there's 27 books in the book of Leviticus, 27 books. If you read chapter 26, 26 is really the summation. Have you ever gone to a bookstore and when you go to the bookstore, you don't read the book, you kind of look at how many of you read the back? You read the back of it and the back of you kind of tells you what it's all about, right? Well, chapter 26 is kind of like the chapter that tells you what it's all about, all right? So you can kind of keep that note. And then chapter 27, it's kind of funny because it's kind of an appendix. It's kind of like an afterthought. It's kind of like all the added extra stuff that didn't necessarily get into the front, whoever the author, well, Moses, they believe Moses was the author. So, but what I'm saying is in chapter 26, it kind of gives you the summation as to what's going on. And I read across this passage, and it really became my life encouragement for the year of 2015. And so as I read this to you, I want to challenge you with some thoughts tonight from my own life. Chapter 26, verse number 1, it says this. It says, do not make idols or set up graven images, sacred pillars or shaped stones to be worshipped in your land. I, the Lord, am your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you keep my laws and are careful to obey my commands, say obey my commands. Okay, so it's critical. You keep his laws and you obey his commands. He says, I will send the seasonal rains and the land will yield its crops and the trees will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will extend until the grape harvest and your grape harvest will extend until it is time to plant grain again. You will eat your fill and live securely in your land. I will give you peace in your land and you will be able to sleep without fear and I will remove wild animals from your land and protect you from your enemies. In fact, You will chase down all your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath the blows of your weapons. I look favorably upon you and multiply your people and fulfill my covenant with you. Verse number 10 is the verse that I found. It says, you will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for the new harvest. It says, I will live among you and I will not despise you. I will walk among you and I will be your God and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, and you brought you from the land of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves. Say, I'm not a slave. No longer a slave. Hallelujah. It says, I have lifted the yoke of slavery from your neck so that you can walk free with your heads held high. Verse number 10. I want to go back there. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for the new harvest. That's a powerful thought. That's a powerful passage of scripture. When I caught that scripture, I'm trying to keep up on Instagram and social media. I'm learning. I mean, I finally got caught up on Facebook, and my kids have graduated on Instagram. And now they don't even do Instagram. They do this thing called Snapchat. Still don't have an understanding as to what Snapchat is all about. But anyway, I Instagrammed it. And I put a picture of, you know, the ball falling and everything, but I put that scripture down because I believe that God has such an intention for your life, guys. Through your obedience and your faithfulness to God's word, that there's going to be so much that you're going to have stuff lying around that God says you need to get rid of that because you need to make room for the more. You know what, that might seem like, well, that's just that prosperity gospel. Now, I'm not interested in talking about the prosperity gospel right now. I'm interested in letting you know that the character and the nature of God, through being an obedient child, the word says that we're his friends, that we're called his kids when we listen to what he tells us to do. That when we get into that place with him, that all of a sudden the Bible says, he says, I'm going to give you so much. You're going to have so much. You're going to have to get rid of stuff because I'm going to make more. I want to give you more. You know what? I thought to myself, if I were to title this message, I would say, God wants you to have leftovers. God wants you to have leftovers. He really does. He wants you to. How many of you have had spaghetti leftovers? Those are my favorites. Mexican and spaghetti leftovers are my favorite. They somehow seem to marinate a whole lot better. And eat them the next day, they taste, ooh. You have a lasagna that's made 2 or 3 days later, I'm telling you, there's something about that sauce that just gets into everything and it just makes sense. Can I get a witness from anybody in here, please? But you know what? As good as that leftover is, God wants you to have better. He wants you to have more. You know what? I don't know what your year was like last year. You know what, guys? It might have been filled with pain. It might have been filled with discouragement. It might have been filled with frustration. You might have had a business deal go south. You might have had a family relationship that went bad. You may have lost loved ones. I don't know what last year had. But God, through his word, is telling us in here, he says, you know what? I want to shower myself upon you in such a way that, you know what? That last year doesn't even matter. In fact, let's get rid of what we got left over from last year and let's make room for the new stuff. See, I don't know what you need this year. I don't know what you're looking or you're seeking God for this year in your life. But you know what? The Bible does tell us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19, that if we're willing and obedient, that we're going to eat the good of the land, the word says. You know, this is a personal question that God had, that I really had to ask myself, and that was this. In 2014, what were the areas of my life did I let slip and maybe need to learn or relearn again so that abundance can come to my life? You know, there's things that we as believers can let slip. It might just simply be the love of God. You know what? For God so loved the world that he gave me his only begotten son. You know what? You might just stop right there. That might be one of the very simplest forms of a reminder to you that, you know what? You let that reality of his love for you slip. Maybe you let the reality of his blessing slip. you know, because there was some challenges in your finances last year. Maybe there were some challenges in business last year. But you know what? You let the reality slip that God does want to pour out his blessing upon you. You know what? Maybe health went south. Maybe you woke up, you know, in 2014 and the doctor started giving you declarations or started saying things, but you know what? You didn't get back to the word and start putting it back into you about what he said, that by his stripes I've been made whole. He's redeemed my life from destruction. He's healed me of every disease. The word says that that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of me. And the word says that in Isaiah, it says he's going to bring health to my body speedily. And you know what? I didn't stir myself up. I didn't stir myself up in the fact that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That he always causes me to triumph. And that every need and every supply that I have, guess what? He's the author of it. And because I didn't stir myself up in those things, I let them slip. And then all of a sudden, how many of you, if you're like me, life can get heavy. You know what I mean when I say that? It can get very, very real very, very quickly. But through the word of God and obedience to his word, guess what? The Bible says that he wants you to have leftovers and to get rid of them so that you can have room for more. Because that's the character and nature of our God. God loves you so much that he wants you to prosper. He loves you so much. He wants you healthy. He loves you so much that he wants you to walk in his abundance and in his blessing. You know, there are several things that the Lord had me really evaluate in my own life last year. One of them was patience. I don't know about you, but I'm still working on that one. I'm not a very patient individual. I like to get it done right and get it done right now. All right? It's just my personality. It's my character. And so with understanding that patience is still something God's working in me in, you know, humility is also something that goes along with that. I've got to be humble. I've got to learn that humility garners me better results. You know what? I also realized that last year, because of some things I accomplished, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still accomplish great things. Last year, in May of 2014, I received a bachelor's degree. And that bachelor's degree was in biblical leadership. Hallelujah. 27 years after I started the crazy thing, I finally finished it. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can finish and do some great things. You know what? I realized that finishing is just as important as starting. Last year, I started racing bicycles. And my very first bicycle race, I think I shared with you guys, those that were here back in March of last year. You know, last year, I got in my first bicycle race. I'm a Cat 5 cyclist. I carry a license and everything. And I finished in my very first race dead last. But I finished. I could have quit. When those guys passed me around on the second loop and they went by me, I thought, why am I doing this? It's 30 degrees. It's sleeting outside. This is stupid. But you know what? I also learned on the inside, I got to finish what I start. And you know what? By the end of the season, I finished sixth in a race in Enid. Hallelujah. And it was a storm that day too. But you know what? Finishing is just as important as starting. And also, another thought that came to my mind was disappointment can lead to discouragement if it's not dealt with. But as I was writing some of these thoughts out, I wanted to just share a couple of these things with you just to help you in life for 2015. God wants you in such a position that there are leftovers in your life and that you need to get rid of them because he wants you to make room for more. But there's challenges in our life as well. And when we think about some of these things, the first thought that I had as I'm saying God wants you to have leftovers is, how many of you would agree with me, sometimes we're not as sure as we think we are. You know, sometimes we're not as sure as we think we are. You know, I was looking at this passage of scripture in John chapter 16 and verse number 12. The Bible says this, he says, I have many things to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. John chapter 16, verse number 12 is probably one of my favorite passages of all the scriptures. But my daughter went off to Bible college, not to Bible college, to college, she's at a Bible college, but she's at Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri. And, you know, 18 years I'm raising this kid. And I'm praying out the plan of God for her life. And then all of a sudden she says, hey, Dad, I'm leaving. I wasn't sure. I wasn't certain that I was going to make it through that whole thing. But you know what? God will allow you to walk through some things and learn some things. You know, maybe you missed out on a business deal or a job opportunity, and maybe it's a relationship that didn't go well. Maybe it's just the understanding of a passage seemed to be tough to grasp. But John chapter 16, 12 says this, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Though we go through this uncertainty in life, the one thing is absolutely certain is God wants to get you into a place where you are ready. You might not be ready right now. There might be that reality in your life that sometimes I'm not as certain as I think I should be, but God wants to get you there. You may not understand everything that's going on. You might not be able to completely, clearly see everything that's happening, but God wants to get you to a place where you will know what's going on. I might be the only one in the room that has ever said this, God, I don't understand what's going on. I might be the only one. That's okay. I understand that. But I might be the only one that says, God, I don't have a clear understanding of what's going on. But you know what? Jesus' own disciples who walked with him and lived with him and walked with him in his life was sitting at his feet while he preached and prayed. And Jesus himself said to his own disciples, you're not ready for some things yet. So what does that do for me? That encourages me. It doesn't discourage me. It encourages me because what I can say is, okay, God, I may not know what's going on, but you know what? I know the one who's going to get things together to make sure that I can understand. See, the Bible says if I take that passage of Scripture and I put it in light with some other passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. In other words, what God is saying right there is he's saying, guys, I've got a lot of things for you. I've got a lot of things I want to do for you. There's a lot of things I want to reveal to you. But you know what? We might not see it. We may not understand it. And that's when we go to that other passage of Scripture and say, okay, God, we turn John chapter 16, verse number 12 into a prayer. And we turn it into a prayer and it simply say, God, you know what? I'm not so certain about some things, but I know the one who is certain. And so because I know the one who is certain, I want to thank you for giving me revelation. I want to thank you for giving me understanding. I want to thank you for giving me direction. I want to thank you for giving me hope. You may not be sure about everything that's going on in life, but you know what? If you'll go back to the one who is, guess what? All things work together for good. Because he loves us and we're called according to his purpose. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. In other words, what God's saying is he's saying, you know what? Don't cast aside your hope. Don't cast aside it because of all the concerns and worries, because there is a payday coming. God wants to bless you guys. The second thing that I came across as I was sitting in my lazy boy is this. It says we don't have to succumb to our setbacks. Has anybody ever had a setback? You know what I mean when I say a setback? You know, in my house in July of last year, I ended up having a subterranean or an under sub slab water leak in my house. That's not fun. I didn't have water. You know what? If it was just me, it'd be kind of fun. You know, us guys, we get kind of rugged and things like that. You know, it's no big deal. Throw up a tent and we're fine. But if I've got a wife and two daughters that are living in my house. And you know what? If they don't have water, they have a fit, Ernie. They're not pleased, right? And so because they didn't have any water, for 3 weeks I had to go out to the little unit out in front of my house, you know, the main shutoff valve. And when I would turn that thing on, my air vents would fill up with water. You know what? I could have got mad because that was not a cheap bill. They had to jackhammer my floor. They messed up my house to get to that thing. But you know what? That setback in and of itself doesn't have to be something I succumb to. You know what, guys? I don't know what kind of setbacks you had. That's a financial one. That's just a one in the natural. But what kind of setbacks did you encounter last year? You know what? It's critical that we turn our setbacks into comebacks. It's important that we turn our setbacks into comebacks. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:9, it says we might be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We might be cast down, but we're not destroyed. The Bible says that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. It means it's not going to come to any, it's not going to have any profit. It's not going to have any gain because we have the greater one. It says in 1 Corinthians, it says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. It says we're victory people. We are conquering people. If we understand that we don't have to succumb to our setbacks, guess what? It allows us to move into the realm of walking in the abundance and actually making room from the leftovers that are in our life. We can move those aside because God wants to give you guys some big things. Just a couple of more things here and then we're going to quit. But the third thing that I learned last year is that praise may not change my situation, but it changes me. You know, I'm sitting there in my lazy boy, and I'm looking back over some circumstances and situations in my life, and you know what? There were some things that all I could do was praise. Using my water as an example, I mean, that all I could do was praise God, saying, thank you, Lord. And the people looking at me and say, you're nuts. Yeah, there might be situations that they might look at you and say, you're nuts. But what's coming out of our mouth? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth begins to speak, or it makes a declaration. And so my praise that is continually in my mouth may not change my current situation, but it does change me. In other words, my whole attitude of life, my whole experience, the whole things that I'm walking through and going through changes me. But like I said, business deals may have gone bad. Relationships may have gone south. Things might just not have gone well. But you know what? What comes out of this person is going to be the praise of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because you know what? That changes Bob. It changes my circumstance and my situation. Go with me, if you will, to Acts. Go, if you will, with me to the book of Acts. Everybody doing okay? Just a couple of more bullet points and I'm going to let you go. But Acts chapter 16, I want you to go there. I want you to see something here that maybe you haven't seen before. I'm not sure, but you may have. But you know what? Whether or not it's been just one of those days, one of those weeks, or maybe one of those months, discouragement and disappointment can be overwhelming. The report from the doctor or the employer, our kids may not respond as we like, maybe a marriage suffered last year, but what is coming out of me will change me or keep me exactly where I am. Look at what it says in the book of Acts chapter 16. You know this story. It's the story of Paul and Silas in prison. The Bible says in verse number 22, it says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so he took no chances, but put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. That's a bad deal, isn't it? We've heard this story. If you've been in church for any length of time, we know the story of Paul and Silas in jail. The reality is, guys, the outcome didn't look good. The reality is the situation and the circumstance didn't look positive. It didn't look like it was for their benefit. But look at what they did, is they made a decision not knowing what was coming, not knowing what was before them, assuming they understood being in that position was not going to be good. But they said around midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, and the other prisoners were listening. So their praise wasn't something that was quiet. Their praise wasn't something that was under their breath. It was something that turned the entire building or the dungeon or the inner prison rooms where they were. It caused something to happen for everyone. And the Bible goes on to say, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake and the prison was shaken in its foundations. All the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Do you realize that praise not only changes you, it changes others? Praise not only changes you, but it changes others. It changes your circumstance because it changes, you know, their decision to praise was something that whatever was going on around them didn't matter. But when their praise became so real and so evident, the Bible says that it also affected the lives of those that were around them. People are going to look at you because of the decision to praise in the circumstance that you're in. They're going to look at you and they're going to think you're nuts. But you know what? They're going to enjoy the byproduct and the benefits of your praise. because it will change them. I got a letter today, my cycling team, from my coach. And I had basically told him over the last couple of months, I haven't been real faithful because of my work schedule, because of my kids, because of different things like that. I said, if you need to bump me down off of the A cycling team and put me on the B team or the C team, I'm okay with that. And he said, Bob, he said, the reason I have you on the A team is not because you're the fastest, not because you're the fittest. He said, the reason I have you on the A team is because what you bring to the team. He said, I never look to you to win. And you know, it's kind of like a bummer, you know, really honest. But he said, you're not the fastest or the fittest. He said, but the reason I have you on the A team is because you infect everybody that's on the team. And see, guys, that's what we've got to be. I'm just on a crazy bicycling team. But you know what? My praise, he actually emailed me and he said, Bob, we missed you yesterday because I didn't get to ride yesterday morning. I had a little upset stomach. And he said, we missed you yesterday. I was hoping that you could pray for us. I'm in a secular group of people riding a crazy bicycle. Do you realize that your praise may not change your circumstance, but it changes you? And it may, in all honesty, change those around you. So I want to encourage you, as you're looking at ways to have leftovers this year, let your praise be one of those leftovers. Make room for more praise as you look at your life this year. The fourth thing is trusting God isn't an achievement, it's a daily process. Do you realize that it's not something that, hey, whoo, I've trusted God? Guess what? When you say I've trusted God, he gives you another opportunity to trust him tomorrow, doesn't he? And then he gives you another opportunity the next day to trust him again. And then most likely he's going to say to you, hey, would you like to trust me again the next day? Every day we have an opportunity. Trusting God is not an achievement. It's a process. It's something that we have to do every day. Every day we have to learn to place our faith and trust in God. Whether we read about the children of Israel in the wilderness being admonished that obedience has its benefits. Why do we only trust him in the big things in life, guys? You know, why do we go to him only with the big things and not just the little things as well? He's interested in every aspect of your life. We know that to be true because when we look at the word, the Bible says this, and it says when tax season came around, and the disciples came to him and said, hey, Caesar has come looking for his, and he said, hey, go fishing. What? Go fishing? Yeah, go fishing. And what? In the mouth of the fish came the tax that was available to go ahead and pay his tax and Jesus' tax. God's going to make it available to you guys. It's going to come in the very unique and very different and the very maybe obscure ways, but it's definitely going to come. Trusting God isn't an achievement. It's a daily process. Do we trust him beyond that financial need or healing in our body? The Bible says in the book of Psalms 37, verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will act. Say, he will act. He will act. The Bible says in the book of Luke that he is looking over the earth for a people of faith. He's looking for someone that's going to trust him. He's looking for somebody that's going to believe him. In fact, he attributed Abraham's friendship because he knew that Abraham believed God. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was attributed to him that he was a friend of God. Why? Because he was obedient to who he was. You know what, when you look at those passages in Leviticus 26, that passage reveals that by placing your trust in God, he's going to do a bunch of stuff. In that passage, you can find in Leviticus chapter 26, it's going to give you, what's it going to do? If you look at it, it's going to produce an incredible harvest for your fields. It's going to protect you from your enemies. It's going to produce peace in your land. It's going to produce for you the incredible blessing of having abundance. If somebody comes against you, the Bible says here, it says 5 will take on 100, and it says that 1,000 will take on 10,000. 100 will take on 10,000. See, when we place and put our trust in God and we know that God is going to act, the Bible is absolutely clear. It's absolutely clear that God wants to bring blessing to you. Hebrews chapter 11 declares that even Joseph knew that he hadn't the opportunity He didn't have the opportunity to experience the blessing for himself, but he said, I believe the blessing is so real. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he made provision for his bones. He said, I may not see it myself, but I believe it so much that you have to carry my bones with you until we obtain that promise. He believed God so much. Where are you in your believing God right now? Where are you right now in trusting God? What is, you know, in 2014, it's already gone. January of 2015 is already gone. And almost most of February of 2015 is gone. But what are the areas of 15? What are the areas of your life that you've got to put trust in him? The last thing that I wanted to share with you is this, is circumstances aren't always what they seem. Circumstances aren't always what they seem. You know, the story of Elisha and his armies of God, just because I see it one way doesn't mean that I'm seeing it the right way. Do you realize that we can make provision and make room for God's leftovers and blessing if we start to see it God's way and not our way? If we start to see the way that God is doing things, if we start to see things the way that he desires us to see them, guess what? We will have the victory. The Bible says in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 17, it's a full-on story, and without going into the depths of the story, the servant of Elisha is saying, hey, there's an incredible army out there. What are we going to do? And he said this. He said, you're going to start to see the blessing if you'll just see it God's way. In other words, what he was saying in this passage, do you have it there for me? Verse number 17. It says this, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. In other words, you know what? There's more on our side than there ever is on the other side. And I want to challenge you this way. Circumstances aren't always what they seem. But if we get so fixated on our circumstances, we might never experience the leftovers or the abundance that God wants us to have. And I want to challenge you guys this week as you go out. And I want you to understand that God has a desire for you this week to experience the leftovers. If I read that passage to you one more time in Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to conclude. I will look favorably upon you and multiply your people and fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from the previous year to make room for the new harvest. God wants you guys to understand that doesn't matter what came this year, last year. It doesn't matter what you're already maybe even seeing or experiencing this year. God wants to make a provision that's quite great. Bigger than you could ever hope. Bigger than you could ever imagine. You know, I'm not sure what you're going through, but it's my desire that you experience the fullness of God this year. This week, we have to be honest with ourselves. Where am I placing my confidence? Have I allowed setbacks to keep me from taking the next step? Is what I'm saying perpetuating my position or producing praise? Is trust a lifestyle for my life? As we think about some of those things, you know what? This week, I believe that God's going to put into you some of the challenges, or take out of you some of the challenges that you might be experiencing. Because ultimately, he just says this. He says, you know what? If you'll obey me, my kids obey me, I'm going to put you into a position where you have leftover. Not because he wants you just to have this abundance, but because he wants you to understand that he loves you and you're one of his kids. His provision's pretty amazing, isn't it? Everybody stand to your feet real quick. Hallelujah. Thank you for the opportunity, for allowing me to minister to you. I hope something that I said challenged you for this week. Next week, I believe it's Pastor or, I can't, no, I believe it'll be Pastor Craig that'll be ministering to you. But let's close our eyes real quickly, and let's just make our commitment before the Lord. Father, we just come to you tonight, and we thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. Our desire tonight, Heavenly Father, is to really put ourselves into a position that we have to get rid of the leftovers because you want to bring us more. But Father, in all reality, there's some areas of our own life that maybe we have to look at and just have to evaluate. Have we put our trust in ourselves, and does the words of our mouth declare praise, or do they more declare about our circumstance? Is my trust fully in you, God? Have I really put myself into a position where I thought I knew what I was doing and then realized, you know what, maybe there's some things I still need to learn. But Father, in all of those doubts and in all of those insecurities and all of those really just simply issues of life, Father, we want to position ourselves in a position of obedience. Because when we position ourselves into a position of obedience, God, you are real. You are present and you are there. Father, I just pray over this congregation right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll leave challenged, Father, to live their life in the evidence of who you are. Not their circumstance or situation, but who you are. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your blessing us. Now, Lord, there might be somebody in this room that doesn't have a relationship with you. Maybe they've known you, but they've walked away. Maybe they've never understood that God really wants them to have leftovers because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that you'd stir on their heart right now. If there's an individual in this room right now that has never accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, would you just kindly raise your hand and you'd say, Bob, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe I did and it's been one of those things I've let go. If you're one of those individuals, just raise your hand real quickly. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Looks like we've got everybody in the room. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you so much for everything that's going on in the lives of these people. I thank you, Lord, that each one of them is saved. They've received Christ as their Savior. Because, Father, nothing that I've said tonight would have any value or any worth without Jesus Christ. We pray right now, Lord, that as we go our separate ways and as we head home, we pray, Heavenly Father, for safety and protection this week. We know the weather looks like it's going to be bad, but Father, we just know, Lord, that you're bigger than the weather. And so we just ask, Lord, that you'd watch out for each and every one of us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this week we're going to have to go to work and we're going to have to go to our jobs and we're going to have to take care of business. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that whatever they put their hand to this week would prosper in Jesus' name. I ask, Heavenly Father, that as they go, they would understand, Lord, that they're the head and not the tail, and you've called them to be victorious and more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And Father, I know that this week we're going to have needs. It might simply be with food, it might be with finances, but Father, the Bible says that you're the supplier of every good need. And Father, we thank you right now, Lord, that as we make a decision to seek you first and your kingdom and your righteousness, everything that we have need of will be added unto us. And Father, as I pray this blessing over this congregation, I also pray, Heavenly Father, that they would walk in divine health and healing. I thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that that's part of the children's bread, the word says. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can declare our bodies whole in Jesus' name through what Christ did on Calvary. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we walk in that health and we walk in that divine healing. For that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. Father, we love you and we praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anybody here that they're having issues in their body? They need healing? They're having some health issues, anything of that nature? Raise your hand real quickly. Anybody here having any issues in your body right now? You're just having some issues in your body? We just like to pray for folks. Come on up. I'm going to pray for you real quick. Come on up here. We're going to pray for you. We're just going to pray for you. Just start them right about here. Come on up. I just want to pray for you. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 16. Go ahead and I'll let these guys help them out. In Mark chapter 16, guys, we're going to do something here. And the Bible says in Mark 16, it says, then believers lay hand upon the sick and they shall recover. And so I'm going to pray and I'm just going to agree with you guys that we pray the prayer of faith as I'm obedient to the word. There's nothing special about me. There's no supernatural anointing upon Bob. But there is something supernatural in anointing through Jesus Christ and being obedient to his word. And so as I lay hands on these folks, I'm just going to trust and believe that the healing anointing is going to go into them. And because of that healing anointing is going to go into them, the Bible says that they shall be made whole. Amen. You can just bring it right there if that's fine. And so guys, just do me a favor, stretch forth your hands as we pray for these folks. I hope you didn't mind me giving you that little instruction, but I wanted you to understand what we're going to do right now. And so we're just going to pray for these folks. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, I just pray healing into this body. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the healing anointing going from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And I thank you and praise you right now that as he receives, Heavenly Father, every illness, every sickness, every disease, Heavenly Father, must go in Jesus' name. And Lord, it will be manifested immediately and instantly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I just pray for this body right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that the anointing would flow in his body. I thank you right now, Father, that you're bringing a healing and a cure in this body. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we're obedient to your word, oh, Father, hallelujah, healing, 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 right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that healing is manifesting in this body. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Oh, Father, it's going to be instant. It's going to be instant. He's going to experience that instant healing right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we're just being obedient to your word. Laying hands on the sick. Hallelujah. Laying hands on the sick. Laying hands on the sick. Father, this body has to come in line with the word. Ha ha. Ha ha. Has to come in line with the word. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for that healing. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that the sister's come forth for healing in her body. We just pray right now, healing in this body in Jesus' name. Father, right now, Father, strength returning to those bones, strength returning to those muscles, strength returning to those tendons, strength returning, Heavenly Father, to every joint. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that that sickness that's in this body does not have a place to stay. It does not have a right to stay any longer. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that healing is going to manifest. She's going to experience, Heavenly Father, that pain relief. She's going to experience the presence of God, the power of God, and, Lord, the testimony of God of your healing in this body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody just lift your hands toward heaven and let's just thank him. Hallelujah. Let's just thank him. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, that these healings will manifest completely, fully, and assuredly as nothing that we've done as men, but Father, all that you have done as our mighty God. Father, as we go from this place now, we pray, Heavenly Father, that your anointing would be upon us. Allow us to impact this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go. Shake a hand, hug a neck, find somebody that you love and or don't love and make sure they feel welcome. And we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.